Hi, this is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining us today. Warning, what you are about to hear is not popular with the adversary, and if you have a high opinion of yourself, you probably won't like this program either. For the simple reason is that we're going to teach you today, and as every day, is that salvation is a gift of God, not of any man's works whatsoever. Well, again, thank you for joining us. Our web address is www.crossandthrone.com. Go on that website. You can find our radio programs, our broadcasts, any audio files and teachings. And you can also find on there the greatest Bible translation on planet Earth, the Concordant Literal New Testament, as well as the Concordant Commentary. And if you have these two tools, the Concordant Literal New Testament and the Concordant Commentary, you'll have more than if you went to seminary for the rest of your life. Also, you can give us a call at 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. Well, this is number 8 of our series entitled Justification, and we are basically studying the first 4 chapters of the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. Last time we left off in verse 13, and I just want to read verse 13 and 14, all the way through 17, actually. And Romans chapter 1, we read this: "Now I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, that often I purposed to come to you and was prevented hitherto, that I should be having some fruit among you also, according as among the rest of the nations. To both Greeks and barbarians, to both wise and foolish, a debtor am I. Thus this eagerness of mine to bring the evangel to you also who are in Rome. For not ashamed am I of the evangel, for it is God's power for salvation to everyone who is believing, to the Jew first and to the Greek as well. For in it God's righteousness is being revealed out of faith for faith, according as it is written, now the just one by faith shall be living." Pardon me a second here. Got to have that coffee to wet the whistle a little bit. Well, we are in Romans chapter 1 again. Again, our theme is justification. And this is a very important passage we've come to in Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul starts off by saying, "To both Greeks and barbarians, to both wise and foolish, a debtor I am." I'm going to read you a comment from the Concordant Commentary on the New Testament. And it says here, "The Greek must not be confounded with the so-called Gentile, or man of the nations. The Greek is the cultured, refined person, sometimes in contrast with the Jew, the religious man, but here in contrast with the uncultured or barbarian. Barbarian seems to be the only available term in English for this Greek word. It denoted especially one who did not speak Greek, the language which nearly all the world spoke at that time." So Paul wanted to bring basically this evangel to both cultured and uncultured people. Also, to compare Scripture with Scripture, in 1 Corinthians 14, I think we have an idea what a barbarian is. In 1 Corinthians 14, we read this regarding barbarians, and you'll have to pardon me, I'm turning there. In 1 Corinthians 14:11, we read these words: "If then I should not be perceiving the import of the sound, I shall be a barbarian to the one speaking, and the one speaking a barbarian to me." Paul was speaking about tongues in that situation. If somebody didn't understand the language, if somebody got up in a local meeting and started gibberishing off some foreign language, and the man didn't understand the language, he'd be like a barbarian. So a barbarian is one who is a foreigner, someone who's uncultured, doesn't speak the right language. So Paul says, "To both Greeks and barbarians, to both wise and foolish, a debtor I am." Now I want you to notice this. Paul is a debtor to the wise and foolish. To do what? "Thus this eagerness of mine to bring the evangel to you also who are in Rome." Paul had a good news, an evangel, and he was a debtor to both wise people and foolish people. Isn't that interesting? Both wise people and foolish people need the evangel of God's grace. Some people may be very wise. If you have all the learning of Newton or Einstein and you're still without Christ, you really don't have a leg up on anyone. And if you're foolish, if you're a foolish person, if you're a drunkard or just a plain stupid man who does stupid things, you are not disadvantaged. So the wise man does not have an advantage, and the foolish man does not have a disadvantage. Because, as a matter of fact, by the way, the word foolish in the Greek is from the Greek word. The elements mean unminded. In other words, it means thoughtless. A person who's thoughtless and unreflecting. So whether you're a Plato or an Aristotle, or you're just a plain nincompoop, you both need the evangel. You both need the gospel. And so this tells us a couple things. It tells us that neither human learning nor human stupidity are either an advantage or a disadvantage when it comes to the evangel. God saves people through the work of Calvary. And we're going to see later that all sinned and are wanting of God's glory. Thus, it doesn't matter if you're wise or foolish. Some people, by the way, sometimes wise people have a harder time of it because it goes against their ego to be told that all their wisdom amounts to nothing if they're without Christ. And also, some people think that they're so... You know, you ever run into people, there's an opposite form of pride when you tell them about Christ. They say, well, I just done so many bad things, I couldn't possibly be saved. That's another form of pride, by the way. They're glorying in their wretchedness. And but we have no excuse, friends. The evangel is to both Greeks and barbarians, to both wise and foolish. Paul was a debtor to both these classes. What does it mean to be in debt? Paul felt he owed it to them. He had a commission from the risen Christ to bring this great message of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ to all mankind. And Paul didn't make any distinctions. He didn't look at people by classes and decide who, and you know, and he had the same message for both classes. The message he had for the wise man was the same message he had to the foolish man. It was a message of the crucifixion, entombment, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, when he dealt with the foolish and he dealt with the wise, he may have approached them a little differently to try to get in and to win their confidence, but the message was not different. And friends, the message today is the evangel. Now, notice what Paul says here. This eagerness of mine to bring the evangel to you also who are in Rome. By the way, the word Rome means force. Rome in that day shook the world. Rome ruled. And when Paul is saying here that he was eager to bring the evangel into Rome, he was showing more courage than any, you know, if you look at men like Napoleon, he had a whole army behind him, or even Patton. General Patton or Stonewall Jackson or George Washington or any of the generals that we may glory in, they had an army behind them, friends. Paul was willing to march into Rome alone. Rome means force. He was willing to march into Rome, this great city, and to proclaim to them this a crucified Messiah who was a Jew to Romans. And that was a foolish message to them. Paul was going to the world power to preach the weakness of God, which was the cross of Christ. Now he says here, this eagerness of mine to bring the evangel to you also who are in Rome. For, not ashamed am I of the evangel. Now most people say that what this means is that Paul doesn't blush. And he's not ashamed to be called a Christian or something like that. No. Paul was willing to go into Rome, this great powerful place, because he was not ashamed of the evangel. And this is a figure of speech. It literally means he was proud of it. Paul was proud of it. He was proud of this good news. Why was Paul so proud of it? For it is God's power for salvation to everyone who is believing, to the Jew first and to the Greek as well. Now, Paul is saying, I am proud of this message. Why am I proud of this message? For it is God's power for salvation to everyone who is believing. The evangel, the good news is God's power. Friends, we're talking right now about the power of God. Think about this. What is God's power? Is God's power displayed in a meeting where somebody gets together and plays music and passes an offering plate and somebody puts their hands on somebody's forehead and they fall backwards like a fool? Or is God's power a message about a person who went to Calvary and died? Friends, that is God's power. Oh, there goes the phone. The phone is ringing. See, we're operating live here. But that is God's power unto salvation to everyone who believes. By the way, that's the adversary. He doesn't like this truth, so he has somebody call at this time. But it is God's power for salvation to everyone who is believing. What is God's power? The gospel, the evangel itself. What is the evangel? The evangel is the message about Christ, crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. And friends, if the message of the cross is God's power to salvation, don't hang up any of your own power lines. Don't add to it. You don't even have to have an altar call to get people saved. You don't need any of these inventions of men. All you need is that message. Christ died for our sins. He was entombed. He was roused again the third day according to the scriptures. If you believe that, friends, if God gives you that faith and you believe that message, you are saved. Friends, you will be declared righteous by God. See, this is the glorious thing. This is not the power of the preacher, friends, but the power of the message itself. Take heart. If you don't have to be eloquent to preach the gospel, friends. All you have to do is say exactly what Paul told us to say. And that message itself brings salvation to everyone who is believing it. A message is proclaimed, a man believes it, God saves him. We'll continue on this thought next time. And I got to run here, but I got to say a few things in closing. You can go to our website at crossandthrone.com. That's www.crossandthrone.com. Go there, get the greatest Bible translation ever, the Concordant Literal New Testament, and also get a copy of the Concordant Commentary in the New Testament. We also have Martin Zender's book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. How about this? The first person to call me after this program will get a free copy of that book, How to Be Free from Sin While Smoking a Cigarette. Call us at 847-312-4676, and we'll send out that book to you. And until next time, as I run here, believe God no matter what the clergy tell you.